You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Good afternoon, wherever you are. Around the world, we have people joining us in our church family around the globe. So can we stand in every auditorium? Let's do one thing. Let's stand in every auditorium if you're physically able. And please give a huge round of encouragement to everyone who's not in your room. There are people right now in Wangara, Butler, Central, Canning Vale, Mandurah, Ipoh, Kuching, Penang, Kota Kinabalu, JB, Malacca, Phnom Penh, Dubai, Colombo, Delhi, Hong Kong, Habarone, Johannesburg, Bristol, Denpasar, Semenya, Surabaya, Solo, Lusaka, London, Sydney, Mount. Come on, give everybody around the world in every location a warm welcome. And while we're all standing, I want to echo the invitation to be part of this church-wide fast. If you've missed it, just start today. That's the great thing about God. His mercies are new every morning. And believing for a phenomenal weekend in every location around the world, we just want to pray. Who thinks that's a good idea? Amen. Well, let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are on the throne, you're in charge, and you are worthy to be praised. I thank you for every person that is attending, that is here. I thank you they didn't just come to listen or watch, they came to engage and respond. And I thank you, Father, that every heart would be good soil, the kind of soil that when the word is sown, when seed is sown, it would truly take root and bear life. Thank you for this series, Lord. I pray that you awaken conviction, and Lord, it would not be a rhythmic routine of just church activity as normal, but everything we do, we would know why you asked us to do it. And Lord, it would strengthen our resolve. Father, I pray for every visitor and every longstanding committed disciple that follows you. So Father, we just declare your word lands in good soil. We pray, God, that nothing the enemy tries will succeed. And that from the youngest to the oldest, from the richest to the poorest, every male, every female, every person who is under the sound of my voice would receive your word. And everyone who hears my words would receive your voice. So I humble myself before you and I ask you, Lord, to flow through into every corner of the globe, we pray. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Go ahead, give the Lord one more shout of praise. Go ahead, give the Lord one more unashamed shout of praise. And when you have cleared the cobwebs over your atmosphere, high five your neighbor, the one you like more, and then please go ahead and take your seats. Today I want to talk about something we do in almost half our services. We've heard so many why messages so far, depending on the location, the country you're in, from different preachers, and they've all been amazing. But today I want to talk about something really specific. I want to talk about why sing. Why sing? And I didn't speak on why worship or why praise, because praise and worship is more than singing. You can praise God and never sing. You can worship God, because your work is your worship, your service is your worship. Anything you do unto the Lord with gratitude is worship. And there's some great teachings on all of that. And I have done messages on praise. I've done messages on worship. But I've never in 18 years since starting this church done a message on why do we sing. Because that sounds like such a niche boutique slice of the pie that only applies to those with a good voice. There are people right now in every auditorium that would land roughly in three categories. Those who love singing, those who don't like singing, and those who And the reason we often struggle with this is because we don't really know why we do it. It sounds like culture. But I'll tell you this, the churches are so diverse, from Catholic to charismatic, through the millennia, from the most conservative to the most whatever. I want to tell you that despite the fact that churches will divide and fight over doctrine and dogma and service and practice and ritual, I tell you one thing almost all of them have in common: singing. Now, they might sing different songs, different styles, different ways, but they all sing. Why? Why sing? Is that just so we warm ourselves up before the word? Is it because just the Bible says to sing? Let me start by giving you a verse that might shock you. Because before you sing, I want you to know someone else who sings. God. Zephaniah says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He, God, will rejoice over you with singing." Did you get that? God rejoices over you with singing. God is singing over you. It's not just you singing to him. He's singing over you. Now, that might ruin your impression of God because you thought God was an old man with gray hair sitting on a throne angry who just calls his court jesters in to sing and entertain him. But no, God is singing over you. If you need to rework your image of your heavenly Father, let Zephaniah do that for you. The Father is singing over you. And if God is a singer and he made you and I in his image, that means he made you with the capacity to sing. I did not say he made you with the ability to sing. Look at your neighbor, say, "You're a singer." Look at the other neighbor, say, "You're a singer too." You're made in the image of God. Now, you might say, "Listen, Pastor, you don't know me. I can't tell the difference between a guitar sound and an alarm clock." It doesn't matter. The scripture says, "Make a joyful noise." The commands of the Bible are clear. There's over 400 references. Listen, 400 references about singing in the scripture. And 50 direct commands to sing. So I didn't say you should join the worship team, but we are all part of the worship sound that God raised, because Jesus didn't just die for a congregation to watch. He died for a universal choir to praise. He died for a universal church to sing. He died. And you know, some people who are not into that may go, "No, it's about the word. Let's preach. Let's talk about the word." And I want to tell you, you're 100% right. It is about the word. But you're into prayer, you're into preaching, but maybe not the singing thing. But I want to tell you, as powerful as declaration is, and I've done messages on it, there's something that the Bible wants to teach us specifically about singing. You're like, "No, but I'm tone deaf." I want to break a lie over you today. I don't know which country you're in, which culture you're in. I don't know what has damaged your ability or your confidence to lift your voice and exhale glory to God. But I want to break that off you, because maybe when you were younger, someone said to you, "You can't sing. You shouldn't sing. You have a terrible voice. When you sing, the glass breaks. When you sing, people cry." You know, when you go to, if you're in the choir, you just stand there quietly and mime. Don't sing. And you, something went into your spirit. And you said, "I'm never going to sing again." So you come to church 15 minutes late. Not because you have anything to do, but because you just want to avoid the awkwardness of singing. I want to break that off you. Today, the devil has to unmute himself, and God is going to unmute the church. Let's put the devil on mute and let the church come alive with song again. Why sing? Today, in fact, because we're around the world. We've got in Africa, we're in Asia, we're in Australia, we're in Europe, we're in the Middle East. We could have a global sing-off. Every location, every campus, you know, we're not going to judge on earth, but maybe angels will judge in heaven. But let you know, make sure your neighbor is a singer. You're like, "Yeah, but I'm not a good singer." No, remember, everybody was made in the image of God who is singing over you. And today is the day something's going to break. I believe it. I believe it. The enemy will do whatever he can to mute this word. He'll do whatever he can to mute the sound of my voice in your ear. But today, decide, even if you spent the last 10, 15, 20 years with an underappreciation, you know, if today's word lands in good soil, two things will happen. People will start coming to church on time. I'm not having a go at punctuality here because of traffic or whatever. I'm saying because you go, "There's a reason I get to sing." I don't get these songs, some of these fast songs, to be honest with you, I don't understand them either. And when these guys do all these moves that would cause some of you to need surgery, I get it. But there's a power in singing. There's a power that God hardwired, because singing is far more than a filler or a warmer upper before the service. And not only will people start to come to church on time, the back row will start to sing as loud as the front row. I said the back row, the back section. Where's the people in the back section at today? Yeah, come on, in every room, in the back section, make some noise. Show them you're just as saved as the front row. Yeah, there's what will happen when you learn why we do this? Not only will the church be finally unmuted, it will change the atmosphere. You know, if you ever have a fight with your spouse, here's a challenge. You've tried counseling? Forget it. Try singing. Try singing your fight. I don't like your mother. Well, I don't like your face. But I don't like your entire race. No. That got a bit out of hand. It's a global stream. We got to be careful right now. I don't know what sort of fights you have. This is not, me and Jemima, we don't do this. This is other people I've heard from stories. But I'll tell you something. If you start singing your fights, someone's going to start laughing. It'll break more fights than counseling. There's something about singing that changes the atmosphere. What is it about singing? I heard this quote. It's a great quote. It says, music, just music, makes you feel feelings. If you ever watched a movie and you heard an orchestra or a soundtrack, or you thought the storyline made you cry, no, the music was part of it. Because music makes you feel feelings. Words make you think thoughts. But singing, which is a combination of words and music, makes you feel the thought. Let me show you. John, who's my favorite keyboardist in the world, he's a musician. So John, here's a challenge. Make us feel some feelings, because God knows I've felt some feelings today. Okay, just pretend you're in a... I don't know what the movie is playing in your head, but just enjoy it. Separate ways, never to see each other again. Stop crying, it's just fake. But that's what music does. Music can move you emotionally, it can engage you. But then words, sheer words, words are powerful. But words make you think thoughts. So let me give you an example. Let me make a statement to you. A good God took your sin and freed you. Can I hear an amen? I said, a good God took your sin and he freed you. That's truth. That makes you think, wow, God is a good God and he actually took my sin and set me free. So if I said that to you, you'd be like, yeah, okay. Look at your neighbor. Say, I know you we do this a lot in church. Look at your neighbor, so I hope you can. Say, a good God took your sin and freed you. Look at your other neighbor, say, a good God took your sin and freed you. Isn't that powerful? Can I hear an amen? A good God took your sin and freed you, but imagine if we combined music with words. God is so good. Good God.
God is so good. So good to me.
He took my sin.
He took my sin.
A good God took your sin and freed you.
He took my sin.
Took my sin. And now I am free.
Now I am free.
A good God took your sin and freed
you. Now I am free. Now
everyone all over the world.
A good God
took your sin. So you can sing, God is so good.
God is so good.
He took my sin. Now I am free.
Now I am free. He's so good to me.
Can you see how singing will change an atmosphere? The words are still the words, but God, in the collective, gave us a grace to be able to lift our voice and sing. Now here's the scripture. The Bible says, come before His presence with singing. We came into His presence in every location around the globe this morning, but did you come with singing? You didn't come, he didn't say come before His presence to listen. See, some of us come to church in our YouTube, Spotify culture to listen. He didn't say come to listen. He said come to sing. You came to choir practice. You came to choir practice, I said. You're like, no, 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 I'm not in choir. See, you listen. When I was in school growing up, there were some subjects that were compulsory. Maths, English, etc. Some subjects were elective, like cooking, woodwork. In school, music was an elective. I did it because I liked music. So in school, singing is an elective, but in the kingdom, it's compulsory. I said in the kingdom, singing is just part of what you do, whether or not you have a good voice. God didn't say, those with good voices, sing unto me. Listen, listen, He often tells us not just to praise Him, listen, but to sing His praises. Psalm 47:6 says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. You could be in our online campus. You could be in other nations by yourself. You could be listening to this in another space where you're just by yourself in your car. You could be in an auditorium with hundreds, maybe 1,000 people. The Bible is clear that we have been invited to sing to God. We've been commanded to sing to God. And before you say, yeah, I sing in the shower, He's not just talking about singing alone. Hebrews 2:12 says, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Did you hear that? In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Meaning, wherever you are. Now, if you're self-conscious and you're like, oh, I should came to the wrong Sunday. I didn't really want to hear about singing. I want to hear about something deep, something doctrinal. This is so deep and so doctrinal. The issue is, our fear, our self-consciousness, some lie has shut you down. But I want to tell you, don't let anybody, including the person next to you, tell you you can't sing. Because God created you in His image and He made you with the capacity to lift your voice and sing. But why sing? Let's talk about it. Number one, because the Lord is magnified. Every time you sing, the Lord is magnified. You're like, how do you magnify God? That's a fair question, because a God who is literally so big is pretty hard to magnify, because He is eternally, immutably, indescribably beyond magnification. And yet the psalmist said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord. Someone say magnify. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. See, when we sing, the Lord gets magnified, not because He gets bigger, because He can't. He gets bigger because He gets bigger in our eyes. He gets bigger in our life. See, the context for this psalm is David is going through a horrible season and he's getting chased. He's fleeing for his life. And in that context, the first words out of his mouth is, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And he says, come on, magnify the Lord with me. Every time you sing, God gets bigger, your trial gets smaller. But God gets bigger, your pain gets smaller. That's what singing does. And when I say singing, I'm talking about singing scripture. I'm not talking about singing Taylor Swift. Although if you need some clothes made very fast, you go to Taylor Swift. Thank you, I made that up myself. I do my own material. Yep, you're welcome. But here's, When we sing praises to God, the Lord gets magnified. Paul and Silas stuck in jail. The Bible says that about midnight, they sang hymns to God. How many know that jail probably is not a good place to sing? You got nothing to sing about. Some of us are not in prison, but we are imprisoned. And whatever is holding you back, you're walking free, but you've got your own jail cell going on. Sing your way out. We know how that story ends. There's something about singing. That's why the devil will do whatever he can to shut your voice down. I don't care if the stream gets cut. I don't care if my voice gets cut. You lift your voice. You sing. You declare the goodness of God, because you will magnify the Lord, and that will change the atmosphere. I read this account of a pastor who was recently imprisoned for his faith. This is an excerpt of his testimony. He said, "When we were in prison, we sang almost every day because Christ was alive in us. They put chains on our hands and feet. They chained us to add to our grief. Yet we discovered that the chains are splendid musical instruments." What a perspective. "When we clang them together in rhythm, we could sing." This is from his excerpt. "This is the day." I mean, I'm singing it. He wrote it. "This is the day clink. This is the day clink that the Lord has made. Clink that the Lord." I mean, what's our excuse for not singing? Tired. I don't like it. Remember, this is God's way of setting you free. What happens when you sing? You know, he told the barren woman in Isaiah 54. You know what he said? It's pretty clear, simple. "Sing, O barren." If I'm barren, I've got no reason to sing. And he says, no. Even if you are barren, sing. If you're in jail, sing. If you're going through trials, sing. If you're being chased by your enemies, sing. You're like, I don't feel like singing. See, what happens when you sing? The Lord gets magnified, your barrenness gets diminished. The Lord gets magnified, your trial gets smaller. The Lord gets magnified. All those things are still real. But what happens is when God is magnified, something changes inside of you. God gave you a key to literally get yourself out of your heaviness, out of your depression, out of your fear. And that's a voice. "Sing with all your might and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." The Lord is magnified every time we sing. When we sing praises, the Lord is magnified. My second son, Caleb, he needs vocal training. In fact, he needs salvation. He needs a lot of things. But here's the thing. He just has no shame when it comes to singing. And you know, I could tell him off. He could be in trouble. And a minute later, you hear him by himself just singing at the top of his voice. I go, but you know, it just changes the atmosphere. You can't be angry when someone sings. It's just, there's a joy that comes with singing. You know, here's the thing. Number one, the Lord is magnified. Number two, the body is edified. The Lord is magnified, the body is edified. Edified means to be strengthened. Singing doesn't strengthen us. The Word does. I'm glad you brought that up. Colossians 3. "Let the word of Christ," which we should all be word fans here. There's no word people and singing people. We're all word people. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And all the faith people said? All the faith people said? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." Listen, how does the word of God dwell in us richly? "Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God." See, the Apostle Paul says, listen, God's word needs to dwell in you richly, and here's how you live that out. Two ways, he said. The first one is teaching. The second one is singing. Singing is one of the chief ways in which God's word dwells in you richly. Most people will forget the sermon. You'll forget most of the sermons you'll ever hear, but you won't forget the song. That's why the most powerful songs are the ones that have scripture in it, because more people have learned scripture through singing than through sermon. Why do we spend 50% of our time singing? Because if we sing truth, it will change not only the atmosphere, but you will be edified. You will get stronger in your faith. The word of God will begin to dwell in you richly. That's amazing. Here's another thought in terms of the body being edified. We know this verse, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." You know, singing and joy are often linked in scripture. Joy often gives birth to singing, and singing often gives birth to joy. So if you want to be strengthened, if the body's going to be edified, when you're feeling weak, put a playlist on. It starts by listening. Great song. And then after a while, don't make the habit of staying at listening. Start singing. Lift your voice. If you're self-conscious, do it by yourself. But the beautiful thing about church, where we're all gathered in rooms literally across the globe right now, is you lift your voice. And if the person next to you lifts their voice, no one's going to hear anyone. We're going to hear a collective sound, and it doesn't matter whether you're good or bad, it's going to make a joyful noise, and what happens is the body will get edified. See, the body gets edified when everybody sings together. Psalm 5, 18 and 19 says this. It says, do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you realize these are the two things most believers should crave? The word in you and to be filled with the Spirit. And in both Colossians and Ephesians, the key to both is singing. Why is Paul putting singing? He's saying, you want to be, let the word of God dwell? Sing. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Sing. You want the word of God to dwell? Sing. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Sing. You want the word of God to dwell? Sing. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, sing, sing, sing. And when we do that, it changes everything. You know, the world understands that. You go to football games and they sing. You go to New Year's Eve parties and they sing. You go to restaurants and it's someone's birthday. These waiters who can't sing will come and just change the atmosphere by singing happy birthday. Because singing changes something. The body gets edified. And if the world can work that out, how come the church is silent? We need to have the voices on top, on loud, on high, and say, God, we want to magnify you, and Lord, we want to strengthen one another. If we begin to sing to one another, something will change. Everybody's voice in the church matters. You're not just here to listen to me. You're here to engage and sing and shout and declare. You came to a group experience. See, that's why the question today is, it's not, do I have a voice? It's, do I have a song? Everybody has a voice. The question is, do you have a song? And the song in your heart is not a unique song. If He saved you, if He forgave you, if He freed you, you have a song to sing. You have something to sing about because God has blessed you. He redeemed you. I don't know what dark spot He ever got you out of in the history of your journey, but if He's done anything for you, is there anybody that's got a story? If you've got a story, you've got a song. You don't need a good voice, you have a song. You have a song.
I'm alive to tell the story. I've overcome. It's His goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done.
I'm grateful for that.
But His goodness and and the power
sing it again.
Of the blood.
I'm alive
to tell the story.
To tell the story.
I've overcome.
And I will sing about it.
It's His goodness and mercy.
And the power.
And the power of the blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and the power of the blood.
Amazing grace. You know this one?
How sweet the sound.
Come on in Africa, come on in Perth. Come on across Asia. Come on in Europe. Come on in the Middle East. It doesn't matter your culture. This is a song everybody can sing. It's truly your song.
But now I'm found.
I was blind.
Was blind.
But now I see.
But now I see.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Strengthen the body this morning, Lord. Strengthen the body around the world, Lord. Lord, I thank you. The Lord is magnified. And the body is edified. Father, fill each one with your Spirit. Let the Word of God dwell richly in every person's life. Oh God, forgive us for not utilizing the gift of this voice. Oh Lord, we might not be able to sing on a mic, but we can sing a song of praise to our God. We sing a song of praise. We sing a song of praise.
God. Praise God.
As you lift your voice and sing.
Praise God. Praise God.
Come on with everything that's in your breath.
Praise God.
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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Come on, I'll give you another chance. Praise God, praise God.
Praise God, praise God.
He's worthy of praise.
God,
he's worthy of praise.
Praise God.
Magnify the Lord with
praise
me.
God,
let us exalt his name together.
Praise God.
Strengthen every weak person across the world right now, Lord. Everybody who needs it, praise God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Can you just honor him? Today we break every lie that has been spoken over you. Your voice will resonate. Your voice will ring out. And from today, something changes in your life. I'm speaking specifically to dads and fathers right now. If you would begin to sing the praises of God in your house, instead of just yelling at the kids, getting angry with everybody, if you would begin to sing praise, it will change everything. Because when we sing, why sing? The Lord is magnified, the body is edified, and number three, the devil is horrified. When you sing, I want to tell you, the devil is horrified. You might have never connected singing with warfare, but it's spiritual in nature. A heart that sings brings war to the enemy's camp. You know, the devil is horrified. You're like, what? I know people are horrified when I sing, but I didn't know the devil was horrified. I'm telling you, the devil is horrified when you begin to worship the Lord. Because a singing heart is a heart at war with the evil one. You know, the story, and I love the story. You can take your seats for a second. I love the energy. I love the... Here's what happened. Saul was king. He was tormented by a distressing spirit. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel that when David would play the harp, it said the distressing spirit would leave. Can you believe it? That just worship would cause deliverance. I don't know if you ever understood worship is the deliverer. When you sing, you know, maybe the greatest story of this in the Bible, the one that just belies logic if you get into the story, is in 2 Chronicles 20 when King Jehoshaphat, the leader of Israel, they were literally at war with their enemies and they're being surrounded. And under attack, this is what happened. Verse 20. The nation is at war, so they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he consulted with the people, listen to this for a wartime strategy. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. I mean, what sort of strategy is that? It's like, we have an army, we want to preserve them, so let's sacrifice the singers and the musicians. Let's put them in front of the army. This was not singers, musicians, go to the side room. Intercessors, go to the side room, pray under your breath. No, these guys were the army. they sent them out like, and they went singing, the enemy's being defeated. I mean, nothing wrong with that song. I like that song. You know what they were singing? Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. As they begin to sing that, verse 22, now when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. I want to tell you, whether your soul and the spirit leaves you or you're the enemy and you're defeated, the devil is horrified when you start to worship God, when you start to sing. The Lord is magnified, the body is edified, and the devil is horrified. Let me tell you a quick story. I remember a couple of years ago, I was praying for a lady. She was clearly distressed, needed some deliverance. And as I was about to pray for her, I was going to launch into my normal prayer. Father, set this lady free in Jesus' name, etc., etc. You know, Lord, we command this thing, you know, whatever. And before I launched it, I felt this prompting. Sing over her. Sorry? Sing over her. Lord, she's already tormented. Sing over her. So I was like, where's Melody? Where's Gabby? Where's Sam? Where's Jared? Please, where's John? Sing over her. You, sing over her. And there was no music like this. So there was no music. Go silent. Got to imagine the scene. The people with the clots are ready. I'm like, go away. I don't want anyone to hear this. This woman's already agitated, distressed. So I start singing over her. Be free, please. Something, please happen. So now we know. I don't know what I sang. It probably wasn't very good. But the minute I started singing freedom over her, she started screaming. Now I know what you're thinking. I thought the same thing. She wasn't screaming because she heard my voice, although I wouldn't blame her. As I started singing freedom over her, she started screaming. So initially I thought, oh no, God, this is not working. But it was working. I don't know. I just imagine the demons must have been in there going, okay, we'll make a deal with you. You stop singing, we'll leave. Torment the tormentors. Sing. Sing, and the devil will be horrified. The woman walked away totally free, because when you sing, it's not the tone of your voice, it's the one you sing to. Praise to the Lord. His mercy endures forever. God is a good God. I want to tell you, if you would learn to sing, the Lord will be magnified. The body will be edified. The devil will be horrified. I don't know what storm you're going through right now, but you can sing. You can lift your voice. And no matter what the enemy is doing to you, I'm going to sing.
I'm going to sing.
In the middle of a storm.
In the middle of the storm.
Louder. The next part says, sing a little louder. Look at your neighbor right now, say, sing a little louder. Look at the other neighbor, say, sing a little louder. But here's the deal, if everyone sings a little louder in every location around the world, I'm telling you, the devil's about to be horrified across the earth. So I don't know whether you got a good voice or not. I didn't ask you whether you got a good voice. I asked you to sing a little louder. So here we go.
Oh, sing a little louder.
That's it.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder. Magnify the Lord.
Sing a little louder.
Edify the body.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Horrify the devil.
Sing a little louder.
We declare deliverance even
sing
now.
A little louder.
We declare breakthrough even now. gonna hear my praises roar. Can you roar? Can you make a declaration of God's goodness over your life in the middle of a storm? Everyone say after me, the Lord is magnified. Say, the body is edified. The devil is horrified. And number four, God is glorified. God is glorified. Why do we sing? The number one reason we sing is to glorify God. It's because He's worthy. See, this is different to the first point. The first point is about the Lord becoming bigger in your life. This point is saying, no matter how it looks, no matter how I feel, God, you deserve all the glory. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I declare that no matter what happens, we would be a church that glorifies you. You know, you say, I want to glorify God. You glorify Him with your work. You glorify Him with your life. But you can glorify Him with your singing. Listen to this last scripture from Revelations. We see it on the screen. It says, I looked again. This is a prophetic picture of the end times. I saw a huge crowd. Right now, there's crowds everywhere. Too huge to count. Everyone was there, all nations and tribes, all races and languages. And they were standing dressed in white robes, just like it is now, waving palm branches. You might not be in white robes, but you're wearing something, and you might not have palm branches, but you have palms. You can wave your palm, standing before the throne and the Lamb, and heartily singing. What was the people around the world doing? They were heartily singing. Salvation to our God on His throne. Salvation to the Lamb. The blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving. The honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. Come on, why don't you wave your palms? Why don't you begin to sing?
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.